Good serving out this evening. We'll be in Proverbs, starting out in Proverbs chapter 8. Book of Proverbs, chapter number 8. I'm going to do just a really simple sermon tonight on how God teaches. And as Gentiles, the Bible tells us that we're kind of prone to knowledge, prone to lean toward wanting wisdom and understanding. That's why you have a bazillion different colleges and universities out there, and that's why they make so much money off of all the wisdom and stuff that they're trying to teach people, and people are learning things. And the thing about it is, it's not a bad thing in and of itself to want wisdom. The Bible says that actually God said the right kind of wisdom is priceless according to the Word of God. We'll see that here in Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 10. It says, "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." And so God places he puts wisdom on a very elevated level and a platform, and that he says that's something, if you're going to try to attain to anything in this life, forget about trying to make all kinds of money and get all kinds of riches. Instead, push toward trying to get wisdom. Try to be wise. And so it's not a bad thing if you have a desire to be wise. That's a good thing to have. Proverbs 1, chapter 1, verses 5 and 6 says this: "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels, to understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings." And so according to the Word of God, it's a good thing to be as wise as we can possibly be. And that's with the wisdom that's from above. It's not so much seeking, you know, college degrees and that kind of wisdom, but much more so learning the truth in the Word of God and what God has given us. And so if you're truly wise, the Bible says, number one, you'll be teachable. The wisest people in the world are teachable. That's how they learn, and they learn new things. And it also says you'll continually increase learning. You don't get enough. You'll just want more and more and more and more. And you have to say that these days, because so many people will downplay wisdom. And they downplay you reading and studying the Bible. And they'll say, they have these little slogans like, "Well, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care." And the thing about it is, obviously you have to have charity involved in what you do. Because if you do it without charity, well, God says you get a big goose egg. If it's not with the right motive, then, you know, you don't have love in your heart and charity, it's not going to benefit you at all, and probably won't benefit them. But the truth of the matter is, you really need wisdom and charity. And God said his people were destroyed not for a lack of charity, but for a lack of knowledge. That's what destroyed his people. And that's exactly what we see happening in the church in America today. Because more people in America can quote that little slogan about how nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. They could not tell you, though, the chapter in the Bible that speaks about charity. They're all about love and loving you to Jesus and all this, but they cannot even show you the chapter in the Bible that talks about true charity. And charity rejoices in the truth, by the way. And so it's very, very important. So God desires his children to be wise. He desires that of you and I if you're a Christian. Now, as a Christian, as a child of God, then I have a responsibility to be a good student. I have a responsibility to learn all that I can learn from my teacher, which the Bible says is the Holy Spirit of God. And it says that the Holy Spirit of God, he's not teaching you things that are contrary to the Word of God. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that when he comes, Jesus said, when he comes, he's going to lead you into all truth. He's going to teach you the truth. Amen. That you have, that we all have a copy of, if you have a King James Bible. And so he's given to us to teach us, to lead and guide and direct us through the truth and the Word of God, so that we can hopefully be wise children concerning God's Word, and then be very simple, hopefully, concerning evil. And it's very important, and this is a very important aspect of our life, because this is the only way you'll ever be able to please God. Romans, you say, how so? Well, the pastor read it this morning, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible tells me in the book of Revelation that I was created for one purpose. I have a purpose for being here on the earth right now, and it's one purpose only. That is to please God. That's why every one of us were created. It was to please God. And the only chance I have then in pleasing God is to obviously be in God's will, right? We understand that. But here's the thing. The only way I can know for sure that if I'm in God's will is, number one, I got to know what God's will is. And the only way I can know for sure what God's will is to renew my mind by getting into the Word of God and seeing what God's will is. And so I have to study. I have to rightly divide. I have to work. It's work. It's labor. I have to do those things, and I have to search and seek out wisdom from this book so that I can know God's will and then have an opportunity to do God's will. Very simple. Very simple thing. So every child of God ought to have a desire to be good students of the Word of God, to learn all they can learn from the Holy Spirit of God. And you ought to want to know all that God wants you to know. And if that's not you, and I understand there's times in your life that that's just not you, you're just not interested, all I can say is pray. Pray that God will give you that desire in your heart, because again, this is going to make the difference in you making your father glad by being a wise child, or bringing shame and reproach upon the name of your father and by being a disobedient child. And it's a foolish child, the Bible says. And so this is very important for us to be able to do, to just be able to actually perform what we were created to do, and that's to please God. And so that's my responsibility as a child of God, to be a good student and get as much wisdom as I can. But as a parent, as a teacher, or you know, preacher, or just a big ugly guy that yells at people, whatever you want to call me, I've probably been called everything, I have a responsibility to also be a good teacher, right? And so it's my responsibility to train up my children in the way of the Lord. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. It's not the government's responsibility to train my children. It's not the pastor's responsibility to train my children. It's my responsibility to train my children. God gave me them for that purpose. And so anyone who doesn't have children, or anyone who has children that's grown up and gone, you don't get out of this either. Because you're a child of God, God has every one of us, every Christian ought to be able to teach others the Word of God. And he expects that from every child of his. For instance, Hebrews 5:12, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, very important, apt to teach, patient. Titus 2:3-5, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Every child of God has an area in which God expects you to be able to teach somebody else. Like the pastor said, if you're a parent, hey, you are a youth pastor. You have children to teach and to bring up in the ways of the Lord. And as a parent, I, like my Father in heaven, I want my children to be wise. I want them to be smart. I want them to have all kinds of wisdom and knowledge, more so from the Bible than from a college. But still, yet I want them to be wise. And so in trying to figure out, you know, we were going to homeschool our kids, and we were looking at different curriculum and how we need to do this. And in picking that curriculum, I took the advice of our pastor, who took the advice of another pastor who told him, he said, you know, ACE, that's the best. You know, that's one of the best programs out there to help you teach your kids. And the reason he said that was it's a self-teaching program. He said, and what happens is it will teach your children how to learn. And once your children learn how to learn, well, guess what? Then it's just up to them how much they do with that. See, at that point, it's just desire in your heart. Once you learn how to learn, well, then it's just up to you. You can do whatever you want to do with that. You can excel in that, or you can just let it fall to the, you know, wayside. But it's up to you at that point. But you first have to learn how to learn. And he said, so this ACE, that's a perfect program to get your kids to learn how to learn. And then it's just up to them, you know. And so here's the thing. I listened to the guy. I mean, the thing about it was, he's a very smart man. But I also got to thinking about this. I got to thinking, you know, making this application to the Bible, and that Bible wisdom. Because here's the thing. That pastor, he was, number one, he was saved. You know, this is why I trusted his advice. He was saved. He believed that the King James Bible was the Word of God, believed every word of it. And that man had a big old IQ. I mean, he sported a Mensa ring. That dude was smart. He knew how to learn. And so when he said, this is one of the best programs for your kids to learn how to learn, I figured he knows what he's talking about. I'll listen to this guy. So here we go. Now I'm thinking, well, what about the Word of God, though? And I started making application to the most important wisdom and knowledge that my kids could ever have and that I could ever have. And I thought about that, and I said, well, I'll take the same approach then. What's that? Well, I will look to someone who is much smarter than me and has a lot more wisdom about these things, and I'll find how I need to do that. Because, again, the advice I took from the man about homeschooling, you know, again, he was saved. He believed in the King James Bible was the Word of God, and he was very smart. But I can do better than that with the Bible. I mean, I can do much better than that. How so? Well, because I have God as an example and someone who can teach me the Word of God and how I need to learn it and how I can study the Word of God. And he can, and I can see how he teaches us. And so this is the approach that I took. And so I've just got about, you know, just a few points here about some things that'll be very, these are just basic things. But these are the important things. The basics are always important things. There's really, in everything that you do, there's just basics. Once you learn the basics, then you build upon the basics. If you don't ever get the basics down, whatever you build upon that, it won't last. It'll fall completely apart in everything that you do. And so these are just some of the basic things that you can do, how God teaches us and how we can learn, and then how we can teach others as well. Number one, God teaches us through repetition and memorization. Deuteronomy 6:6-9 says, God speaking, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." Man, that's getting a lot of Bible all the time. Acts 17:11. "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." John 8:31-32 says, "And Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Psalm 1:1-2. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And then lastly, Philippians 3:1. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe." And so over and over and over and over again, you have God makes it very clear that, and very plain, the only way that you're ever going to learn the truth and be able to walk in the truth and be able to teach someone else the truth is if you spend time in the truth day in and day out. That's the only way you're going to learn it. The only way. And you read the Bible once, and you read it from cover to cover. I mean Genesis to Revelation. And you say, man, you know, that was tough. I didn't think I was going to make it all the way through that thing, but I finally made it through it. Now what do? You read it again. And then you say, wow, the second time, I think it was even harder than the first time. But, you know what? I mean, I made it through. Now what? You read it again. And you just keep reading it. And you keep reading it. And you keep reading. I'll tell you what. I thought about a lot of things that I would hate to have to stand before. I've heard preachers preach about different things. One guy said, I would hate to think that I put less money in the plate toward missions than I did toward my animals. And have to stand before God and answer for that. I thought about some things like that. I would hate to think that I spent more money toward entertainment than I did the things that were needful and things that were good and necessary. I would hate to think that I, of all the junk that I have read, of all the junk that I have watched, of all the junk that I have put time into in my life, to think that I would stand before God one day and never ever read through the Bible one time. His book, one time, and my whole life, not one time. I wouldn't want to stand before God like that. And so again, you read it, and you read it, and you read it, and you read it. Then you study out a subject. You take whatever subject you want. You want to read about angels, study about angels. You want to read about the doctrine of eternal security. You want to read about whatever you want to study. You study that thing out, and then a little while later, guess what? You go back and you study it again. And then you go back a little while later and you study it again. And you study it again and you study it again. And you're going to find out something very interesting. God is really good about slipping verses in there you've never seen before. God is amazing about how he can put things together in here. And there'll be, you think you've come to the end of this thing. I mean, you know, I've been through this thing 10 times already. I've surely studied this thing out. That's all there is to it. You wish. And you keep digging. And you find out there's more. That's how you learn. And you just keep learning and you keep learning. You memorize one verse and you meditate on it. And then you memorize another verse and you meditate on it. And then you memorize another verse and you meditate on it. And you do those things over and over and over again. And there's no replacement in any form of learning for repetition. Everybody's looking for an easy way. Everybody's looking for, you know, if there's a new study out and this is, you can do this and, you know, you don't even have to read the book and you can know it. Well, I'll try that. You know, it's only $600. I'll try it, you know, because we want to find an easy way around it. But there is no easy way. It takes reading and studying. And so this is where it takes discipline. This is where the work comes in. God is checking your desire. To see how much do you really want to know about it? I mean, how much do you really want to know? And so he'll check, and that's where discipline is the key. Because again, it's, you don't read the Bible when you feel like it. You read it when you don't feel like it. I mean, you'll have days you want to, and you'll have days you don't want to. Either way, you read it. It'll help you. I promise. You don't just pray when you feel like it. You pray all the time. You pray whenever you don't feel like it. There's no sidestepping repetition in God's method of teaching. And I'll just tell you, if your heart is not in it, it will affect you. You won't learn as much. But here's the key. You will still learn. That's the reason you do it either way. Because here's the thing. For those of you, some of you didn't have to do the memorization tables and stuff like that, you know, the times tables back, you know, when I was I'm a dinosaur, so way back then in school, we had to do times tables. We counted, we had rocks, you know, we could put out there, that kind of thing. And so we had to do our times tables. And, you know, here's the thing, you know, 7 times 7, psh, easy, 47. I mean, you know. Or maybe it's 49. Maybe that's what it is. But the thing about it is, guess what? Do you really think that I was just, I can't wait. Forget skateboarding, you know, forget riding my bike, forget, you know, doing all the crazy stuff that I wanted to do. I just can't wait until we start studying their times tables in school. I mean, that's the bomb, man. I just can't wait. You know what? I still know them. You know why? Because I went over and over and over and over and over. because I had to pass the test. So there we go. So you learn. Either way, you learn. And that's a key. Repetition is a key in being able to learn and to be able to teach others. Number two, God teaches us. This is kind of an odd point probably, but God teaches us through similitudes. Hosea 12:10 says, I have spoken, or I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. Now, a similitude is just a comparison. It's a simile, a synonym, that kind of thing, you know. And so it just has a likeness. It kind of resembles that thing, or, you know, it has, you're comparing it, and they have a likeness. So when you're comparing it, and here's the thing. It's taking something that is very complex and very hard to understand and breaking it down to a way that you can understand it. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did while he was on this earth through his ministry when he spoke by parables. And not all the parables are similitudes, not all of them, but many of them are. And you read those parables where it says the kingdom of heaven is like this. See, that's a similitude. He's comparing it to something you know because you've not seen the kingdom of heaven. You've not seen that. But he's telling you what it's kind of like. And this kind of teaching, man, this is one amazing way to learn. And it's very educational, and it's a good way of teaching because, again, these are spiritual truths that you're able to get. It kind of just pulls the curtain back and gives you a little glimpse of something that is, again, very complex and very hard, and puts it in a natural setting. This is some easy examples for this would be people have a hard time. We all have a hard time understanding how God can be three different persons and still yet be one God. Well, here's an easy way. Water. Okay? Water can be ice. Right? It's a solid. Water can also be a liquid, just like a water in a glass. But water can also be a gas, because it can be steam. Now, guess what? All three of them are a different form of water, but guess what? They all are. Three in one, water. They're all water. And so God, again, there you go. You have people trying to explain one of the best ways I've ever understood how we were made in the image of God. God's a Trinity. We're a Trinity. We're made in three parts. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And I had someone explain that one time. It's kind of like a basketball. You have that outer leather cover. That's your body. Everybody sees that. But then you have an inner tube inside that thing that nobody sees, and it's shaped just like the body. But nobody sees that part. And then you have this thing that you put air into. That's the spirit. It's what gives life to the basketball. So you have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. It's not exact, but it's not supposed to be. It's just kind of get to where you can grasp it a little bit and kind of start to understand some of those things. And one of my favorites is the teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ did, teaching eternal security by understanding that it's like a relationship between a father and a son. And so once you're born again into the family of God, you become God's child. Okay? Now you're God's child. Well, here's the thing. I have a son. And guess what? He's going to be my son. He's going to be my son when I'm dead. Guess what? He's going to be my son when he's dead. There's no breaking. Now, our fellowship, well, depending on how he acts, depends on how good we get along. You understand? Yeah. Oh, boy, I'm telling you. See, that's how it is with God. The Bible says there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Well, I tell you what, I believed that passage before I had a son. But I understand it much better now that I have a son. I understand it much better now than I ever did before. And that's just a similitude. My son, when we're talking about spiritual things and I'm trying to teach him some different things, so often that's what he'll do just to make sure he understands what I'm talking about. And he'll say, so what you're saying is, Dad, is you're saying that it's kind of like this. And I'll say, yeah, exactly. Or then, no, not nothing like that. You're not listening. But either way, you see, it's a perfect way to teach. And not only, you know, again, this makes the stuff in the Bible become alive. And here's the thing. We don't base our doctrine on similitudes, because like I said, they're not exact. But these things will help you just understand these hard concepts just a little bit better and get a better hold of them. And number three, and I promise we won't be here long. I just have 24 points, so we're good. Number three, God teaches us through prayer. We are to ask God for wisdom. James 1, 5 and 8 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now, you would be wise to always pray before you open up the Bible and ask God to, that open your eyes that you may behold wondrous things out of his law, you know. Ask God to help you see something while you're doing your Bible reading or studying. And the Bible, here's the thing. The Bible is not like any other book in the world that you'll ever study, because the condition of your heart will very often determine what you get from the Bible and what you don't get from the Bible. And mathematics is not that way. Biology, diagramming sentences, it doesn't matter how your heart is, whether it's good or bad, you can learn those things either way. But the Bible, not so. This kind of thing has always amazed me, not only because I've read about it and how it worked in the Bible, but I've seen it happen to others, and I've even experienced it myself. And it's just an amazing thing. Think about this. Did you know that through the means of parables, the Lord Jesus Christ was able to both teach and reveal truth to some and hide the truth from others with the exact same parable? And the parable was both revealed and hidden. And the difference in whether you came away and said, wow, I understand what he meant by that, or you walked away scratching your head saying, I don't have a clue what he was talking about. All the difference made was how your heart was whenever he spoke that parable to you. And it's just a condition of your heart. I turn to Matthew chapter 13. This will be the only other reference we do. But the Gospel of Matthew, this thing in action. Matthew chapter number 13, starting in verse number 10. Matthew 13, starting in verse 10, the Bible says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. Why? For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Now, God is really concerned about your motives for learning his words, and for seeking wisdom, and for seeking for answers. And every time that somebody approached the Lord Jesus Christ with a question, he first would read their heart. And according to how they were approached, what motive they had in approaching him, that's how he would answer them. He would answer them according to their heart. And it didn't matter whether it was a Pharisee or a doctor of the law, or whether it was his own disciples or John the Baptist or whoever, he would answer them according to their heart and according to their motive for seeking that wisdom. And listen, I've seen it time and time and time again. Someone will approach the Bible seeking for an answer. Or that's what they say they're seeking. But you find out that what they're seeking is actually they're looking for a certain answer. And you know that after you give them an answer that they were not wanting. That's how you find out that they really were not seeking necessarily for the truth or an answer. They were looking for a certain answer. And so once you give them an answer they weren't looking for, you know, I'm not really looking for that. I was looking for something that would back up what I already believe. And that's how all the false prophets and false teachers and stuff do it. They come to the Bible with something they already have in their mind. This is how it is. And now all I need is a few verses to back up what I already know is true. Instead of approaching the Bible with the idea of God, you show me the truth no matter what I believe. And if you approach God like that, He'll show you something. Because see, that's one way to get an answer, just to come to the Bible and try to pull out some verses to back up what you already believe. That's a way to get an answer. But that's not a good way to get the truth. And there's a big difference. And so, again, it's imperative to pray, to ask God to give you wisdom, give you the right heart as you approach His Word. Ask Him to give you the right desires in your heart, to open your eyes and your ears so that you can get the truth and truly be wise. And then number four, and this is it. This is my final point. Finally, God teaches us through doing what we've learned. Exodus 18, verse 20, God speaking to Moses, He said, "And thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk and the work that they must do." He said, "I'm going to give you words. I'm going to give you laws. I'm going to give you commandments. And you're going to show them how they're supposed to do that." And this is being a doer of the word and not just a hearer only that the Bible talks about. You're leading by example. And this method cannot be overemphasized on learning and on teaching, because here's the thing. You won't become proficient in math if you learn how to do math, but you don't ever do any math. You won't become proficient in math if you learn how somebody else does math, but you don't ever do the math yourself. You become proficient in math by doing math. And everything in your life works that same way. You know, people ask me, you know, and I'm not a great guitar player. How'd you get so good? What's your secret? Hours upon hours upon hours upon hours of just playing the guitar. I mean, did you study? Sure, I listened to other people. I watched other people play. And then, you know what? I picked up a guitar and I beat and banged and beat and banged and beat and banged on it till I got some kind of a decent sound out of it. That's how you learn. You learn by doing. And when it comes to the Bible, depending upon what you do with what you have learned, that'll often determine how much more you get. And you learn how to pray and the power of prayer by spending time praying and seeing God answer some of your prayers, man. That's how you learn. And you learn how to witness by witnessing. That's the best way to learn, by doing. And what I love about this method in relation to the teaching is that the Lord Jesus Christ was the epitome of this method. I mean, He's the perfect example. He left you the perfect example in all things. You want your children to grow up and think church is important? What kind of example are you leaving for them? What kind of example did the Lord Jesus Christ leave for you? Where was He at when the synagogue was open? That's where He was. He was in the synagogue. You want your children to understand the importance and power of prayer? What example do you leave them? What example did the Lord Jesus Christ leave you? All you read all the time, He spent all night in prayer. That's an amazing example He led. You want your children to set their affection on things above and not on things on the earth. What example do you leave them with? What example did the Lord Jesus Christ leave us with? And so here's the thing. This is the reason this is so important. It only breeds contempt in the heart of those that are following you or are under your authority when you either say or you say it by your actions, "You do what I say, not what I do." You're going to make people angry. Here's a good example. I'll make everybody good and mad before I leave. That's what I do. That's my ministry. You watch your mouth, young man. I don't ever want to hear something like that come out of your mouth again, especially about your brother or your sister. You don't talk about your brother or sister like that. You understand? Yes, sir, I understand. Okay, good. Did you hear what that jerk said to me at church tonight? Well, at least he talked to you. The super spiritual sisters were just too stuck up to say anything to me. I mean, you know. Oh, I'm not supposed to talk about my brothers and sisters, but it's okay. They're not your... It's amazing what you teach and how you teach. And I tell you, they learn, man. They learn. And that they learn a lot from those things that we do. And so be careful. Here's the last thing. It has been said that we remember 14% of what we hear. We remember 22% of what we both see and hear. I thought this was an amazing number. 70% of movies in our minds. And 91% of what we teach others. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. Some man said that. I can't bank on that as being absolute truth. But I know this. God has left us and given us some very useful techniques by which we can learn and by which we can teach others also. And so I hope that this will be something that will help you become a better student and a better teacher of the Word of God. Personally, of all the things that I have tried in my life, and to my shame, I've tried a lot of things in my life. But I don't think that there's anything else that is worth the time and effort that you can put into learning all you can learn from the Word of God and then teaching others that.